Well, hello everyone. This is Stephen Cohen from the booming metropolis, Colorado Springs, here for episode 16 of the podcast Quantitative Investigations. I'd strayed off, I felt like, from the one of the main purposes of this podcast, which was to present data, actual information, as opposed to delving into politics, although you do have to address some of these issues to show people how to actually analyze the world around us. So I started last week, just felt like getting back into the main purpose of the podcast, to when I went through the Geneva Conventions and started reading various articles in the Geneva Conventions. And I would actually encourage people to read these documents. Any document that I mention on this podcast, I encourage people at least peruse. Because I'm telling you, you just don't get the truth. You just don't get the truth on the news. I'm recovering one of those issues today. I'm going to be going back looking at unemployment data. Because, everyone looks at the unemployment rate on its face value as, yeah, this is the unemployment rate. No, it's not. Sometimes it's close, but no, it's not. And I'm going to explain why. Before I get started, I had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine. He had sent me an email regarding helium mining. Apparently helium is becoming in short supply. Mind you, I've been hearing this for probably about 20 years. Mind you, this has been sort of the same situation for a long time. Don't forget, the only reason why the Hindenburg exploded over New Jersey was because the United States was boycotting Nazi Germany and not providing helium. So the Nazis used hydrogen. So, that's kind of what happens. You get a little spark and you got a lot of hydrogen around, you're going to get a big explosion. So he was talking about this, shortage of helium and talking about some mines around in the United States where there might be helium. And I made some comment like, well, as it's better to do that than what these morons want to do and mine the moon. So within 5 minutes, this guy calls me and he goes, what are you talking about when you said morons that want to mine the moon? And I just started laughing. And I said, don't even tell me someone approached you about mining the moon. And he goes, okay, I won't tell you that, but let's just say it's been coming up through the grapevine. And I said, pal, mining the moon is the stupidest thing we can do. And anyone thinks that we can do it and not have a significant impact on the Earth is a moron. And I ran through the calculations using the law of universal gravitation and the formula for centrifugal force. And I showed that you can remove enough mass from the moon to affect its orbit. Now, gravity and mass are linked, right? Gravity and mass are linked. The acceleration due to gravity, F equals ma, right? Force equals mass times acceleration. So mass of the moon is extraordinarily important because it's the gravitational force from the moon due to its mass that keeps our axial tilt stable. Our axial tilt is around 22.5 to 24.5 degrees. That's a pretty stable tilt. You start messing with the moon, you start removing mass, then you're going to decrease the moon's ability to exert that gravitational drag. I call it a gravitational moment. number of times, but I might not be using that term correctly. But, you know, the moon, you can imagine a lever between the Earth and the moon, and the moon is exerting a force on that lever to keep the Earth's axial tilt stable. You take that away, you start removing mass. The moon loses its ability to, or decreases its ability to keep our axial tilt stable. You want to see real climate change? And like real climate change, as opposed to the fake man-made climate change, you start messing with our axial tilt. Let me tell you, you're gonna change the climate on a very frequent basis in the United States. It's not going to be pretty. So that was my point. And I know countries and scientists think it's okay to mine the moon. It's the stupidest thing we can do. Stupidest thing we can do. And I don't understand why there's not a single person out there who's raising the alarm about this. Now, am I wrong? Well, I ran the calculations. Standard physics equations, law of universal gravitation and the centrifugal force equation. All right. I ran the numbers. And I'm showing it, you can remove enough mass to really have an effect on the moon's relationship to the Earth. But what do I know? Just so happens, though, NASA measures the distance between the Earth and the moon frequently, and the moon is moving away from the Earth 2 inches per year. So there probably will be a time in the long distant future, that the moon will be sufficiently far away from the Earth that it will no longer be able to exert that gravitational moment or gravitational drag on the Earth's axial tilt. And then, you know, we'll have some real wild weather. Now, will that be the destruction of the Earth? No. Everything will adapt. So that was just an interesting conversation. this guy hasn't called me back that quickly in a really long time, so I was kind of surprised. So moving on to the unemployment rate. People may have heard that the unemployment rate in December of 2023 was 3.7. Great. What does that mean? Well, in case you didn't realize that the government does things in a very self-serving way or a vague, opaque manner, you start digging into what the unemployment rate really is. And of course, with everything, you have to go to the definitions. Now, you can find a lot of this on the Bureau of Labor Statistics website. Actually, the Bureau of Labor Statistics website has a huge amount of information, but it's really a cruddy website to use. But there is a huge amount of information, including definitions, by the way. So here's how this works, okay? You go to the definition of unemployment rate, and it says this. The unemployment rate represents the number of unemployed people as a percentage of the labor force. The labor force is the sum of the employed and the unemployed. The unemployment rate is calculated as unemployed divided by labor force. Now, everything here has a definition. Unemployed people has a definition. Labor force has a definition. And let me give you an example. Definition of unemployed people. People are classified as unemployed if they meet all of the following criteria. They were not employed during the survey reference week. So the BLS actually conducts surveys and extrapolates from those surveys how many people are working, how many are not. They were available for work during the survey reference week, except for in temporary illness. They made at least one specific active effort to find a job during the four-week period ending with the survey reference week. Or they were temporarily laid off and expecting to be recalled to their job. People waiting to start a new job must have actively looked for a job within the last 4 weeks in order to be classified as unemployed. Otherwise, they are classified as not in the labor force. Okay, so let's review a little bit. The unemployment rate is the number of unemployed divided by the labor force. Okay? I just read you the criteria for what is unemployed. What should stand out to you immediately is if you have people who are not working and have not been looking for a job in the four-week period prior to the unemployment rate, they're dropped out of the labor force. That means they're not counted in the unemployment rate. That should be mind-boggling. So immediately what this should tell you is if you want to know the true employment situation in the United States, you need to not only look at the unemployment rate, but you need to look at the labor force. And a lot of times they use what's called the labor force participation rate. You need to look at it. Or you don't know squat. Okay. What's in the labor force? What is the civilian labor force? The labor force includes all people age 16 and older who are classified as either employed and unemployed. Conceptually, the labor force level is the number of people who are either working or actively looking for work. If you're not looking for work and you haven't been working, if you haven't been working and you have not been looking for work in the four-week period prior to the unemployment rate, you're dropped out. Now, I once listened to a lecture by a sociologist. I was watching it on TV, and for the life of me, I can't even imagine when this was, and I can't even imagine why. I cannot imagine why I was listening to this guy. But he was a sociologist, and he was talking about the underclass. What is the underclass? So he described the underclass as people who are no longer in the labor force. They're not working, and they're not looking for work. Well, what are they doing? They're probably making money illegally. Drugs, prostitution, illegal gambling, picking up bottles and trying to get the deposit on the bottles, selling loose cigarettes. What are they doing? He also described the risk factors for becoming a member of the underclass. And this guy was not a conservatively religious. He was just pointing out facts. Single-parent households, teen pregnancy, and drug use are all risk factors for becoming members of the underclass. It's pretty interesting. Well, that's kind of a side note. Now, the one thing I did not talk about was what is the definition of an employed person? And I'm going to look that up right now, if I can. Employed. In the current population survey, people are classified as employed if during the survey reference week they meet any of the following criteria. And again, I'm on the BLS.gov website. Worked at least 1 hour as a paid employee. Really? 1 hour in the reference week. Worked at least 1 hour in their own business, profession, trade, or farm. Self-employed. Were temporarily absent from their job, business, or farm, whether or not they were paid for the time off. Worked without pay for a minimum of 15 hours in a business or farm owned by a member of their family. Okay. Each employed person is counted once. The following are not considered employment in the current population survey: volunteer work, unpaid internships, unpaid training programs. Training programs not sponsored by an employer, even if the trainee receives a public assistance payment for attending. National Guard or Reserve duty. Ownership in a business or farm solely for investment purposes with no participation in its management or operation. Work around one's home, such as cleaning, painting, repairing, or other housework or home improvement project. So, housewives are not considered employed people. Therefore, they are not in the labor force. Okay? So I know it's going to be hard to kind of, you know, put your heads around the definitions and whatnot, but I'm just telling you, everything with the government has a definition. And, you know, if you don't understand the definitions, you don't understand what's going on. So let's take a look at some of the unemployment stats, if you will. It's one other thing I have to cover. Seasonal adjustments. The unemployment rate, as it's given, they always get, and a lot of the other statistics that they give that you can more easily find are seasonally adjusted. A seasonal adjustment, it basically is a statistical method to remove fluctuations caused by seasonal activities. These numbers are, it's a way of smoothing. Okay, these numbers are garbage. They're total garbage. First, fortunately, the Bureau of Labor Statistics does provide the not seasonally adjusted numbers. But there are other ways of smoothing. For example, I think I've spoken about moving averages. That's a way of smoothing where you don't necessarily lose information. You lose a lot of information by seasonal adjustments. I actually created, and I have to update the formula because it didn't behave the way I thought it was going to, but I created my own employment index, which really tracked the recession cycles and recession recovery cycles pretty well. But what I found out, because I didn't use seasonally adjusted numbers, what I found out was, and this is something simple, but February tends to be the lowest month of employment, and August tends to be the maximum month of employment. Well, I didn't know that, because they smooth out that data. Now, is that mind-blowing? Does that change everything we know about employment? Probably not. But you lose information when you smooth. You lose information when you smooth. And sometimes that information is valuable. But just to give you an example of what you have as far as smooth versus seasonal versus not seasonally adjusted numbers, the total number seasonally adjusted, the total number of the unemployed in December of 2022 is 5,698,000. In December, the number of unemployed is 6,268,000. So we actually have more unemployed people now than what we had a year ago. But yet the unemployment rate is down. That effect you're going to see from the labor participation rate. So that's why in order to you have to look beyond the unemployment rate to really see what's going on. So again, seasonally adjusted numbers of unemployed. 5 million 698,000 in December 2022, 6,268,000 in December of 2023. Now, let's go to the unadjusted, the not seasonally adjusted numbers. Fortunately, I have to do some math here. You know, gotta love the math. So according to the non-seasonally adjusted numbers, in December of 2022, we had 5,352,000 unemployed, as opposed to the adjusted number, which is 5,698,000. So you start to see there's differences. Now, these differences may not always be consequential. Sometimes they may be. In December of 2023, all right, let me clear this and do some more math. Fortunately, I have my handy-dandy calculator here. And so December of 2023, the unadjusted number is 5,907,000 unemployed, and the seasonally adjusted number is 6,268,000. There are differences. All these numbers are going to be estimates anyway. But when you start doing smoothing on estimated numbers, you start to lose a fair amount of accuracy and a fair amount of information. Interestingly enough, you look at the unemployment rate. Right now, the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate is 3.7. Now, let's go to... So the data I have here is the unemployment rates for men and women. I just averaged them out. And it looks like December of 2022, the non-adjusted unemployment rate was 3.25%. December of 2023, the adjusted, this is going to look interesting. This is going to be interesting. And of course, my calculator doesn't work. this is going to look pretty darn interesting. It's 3.55%, as opposed to the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate is 3.7%. Now, are those drastically different? Do those mean enough? I don't know, but like everything, or most things, you can't take the immediate number and draw a conclusion. A lot of this stuff is all relative compared to where we are in the past. So you have to look at trends. You can download this data and create your own graphs, and you can track things. And if you use the seasonally adjusted numbers, you can probably end up predicting when we're going to have a recession, when we're not. That's what I was trying to do. But here's what I mean by you have to look at the context of each individual parameter. Let's take labor force participation rate. The labor force participation rate, wait a second, let me get the exact definition. Got to look it up on the old interwebs. Labor force participation rate. What is it? Okay. The labor force participation rate is the labor force as we described earlier, divided by the civilian non-institutional population. What is the civilian non-institutional population? Well, now you have to go to another definition. The civilian non-institutional population is ages 16 and older. And the civilian non-institutional population excludes active duty members of the military, people confirmed to or living in institutions or facilities such as prisons, jails, correctional institutions, and detention centers, or residential care facilities such as skilled nursing homes. Isn't that interesting? So, you're still not getting the entire population. Now, they come out with these civilian non-institutional population numbers every month. So you could track those. But it doesn't, you're still not getting the entire population. I know there's a reason they do this. I'm sure it's a bad reason. I don't know the reason they do this. Because everything's all relative, right? I mean, so what? So what? People are in the military. I mean, first of all, they're still working, right? They're still in the military. They're still working. They should still be in the population. And so what? Someone's in a some kind of institution. But they don't count them. They don't count them. One of the reasons may be if you, the labor participation rate, again, the labor force participation rate is labor force divided by civilian non-institutional population. Well, if you cut out segments of the entire population, then you actually increase that number. When you divide by a smaller number, the result is a greater number as if you divide by a larger number. But that also means that factors beyond labor affect these numbers. And that is the problem. Let's say we have a slew of people who just decided to join the military. They're no longer part of the civilian non-institutional population. Therefore, they're no longer part of the labor force participation rate. And they're no longer part of the labor force. That might be wrong. I think it's just they're no longer part of the I think it just means that they're no longer part of the labor force participation rate. So what I said wasn't true. It's just that they're no longer part of the labor force participation rate. But again, that's why you have to understand your definitions. you have to know what you're talking about. And what I was getting to before is nothing can be really looked at as a single point in time. You have to look at the trend. And it just so happens there's some graphing tools on the BLS.gov website. And one I printed out was the labor force participation rate seasonally adjusted over time. To me, this is a rather disturbing graph because starting from 2008, the labor force participation rate has dropped. When it's in December of 2003, sticking with like early 2008, it was around 66. Then it dropped to around, it looks like around 60, Can I zoom on to this? No. Looks like it was around 60.5 in December of 2019, or in early January. And that, of course, is when COVID hit. It went back up to around 62.5. But we've never, the labor force participation rate has never recovered since 2008. Loosely said, that means people have dropped out of the labor force and aren't coming back and have not come back. That's a disturbing trend because we need people to work. This country doesn't function unless people work. But interestingly enough, our GDP is still relatively increases. That says something too. you know, what that all means in the greater context of our economic health, I don't know. There are a lot of things in the world that are interconnected, but nobody makes the connections. Nobody. Why is that? We should be smart enough. Someone should be intellectually curious enough. There are aspects of our society that no one understands. And unless someone actually makes an effort to understand our society and what the numbers say, assuming the numbers are correct, I mean, if we're not going to do this, then how are we supposed to solve problems? If we don't know, as I've said before, a doctor friend of mine said, if you don't have a diagnosis, you can't have a cure. And because politics is so short-sighted and people are so short-sighted, we never come up with real solutions. Because the politicians don't care. And let me tell you something, this is Republican and Democrat. This is Republican and Democrat, my friends. Donald Trump was in office, and as great of an economy he claims we had, and it was a pretty good economy as far as I'm concerned, labor participation rates under him did not come close, did not get back to that 66. It looks like it got back to 63, about 63 and a half. Well, what happened? Why? No one knows. Now, post-COVID, I mean, do we still have a hangover from all the federal assistance given to people in order to get them out of the workforce so we can control them? I don't really know. I know people aren't going, I still know we have shortages of labor. I mean, we still have shortages of labor. Now, I'm in the environmental and engineering world, and I know we've had shortages of engineers for as long as I've been working, which is well over 3 decades. I've been hearing complaints about shortages of engineers since I was 20. We still haven't solved that problem. But moving on, other examples of seasonal versus non-seasonal adjustments. You want to look at the unemployment rate. Non-seasonally, the unemployment rate, and I think I covered this in December of 2022, was 3.4. Non-seasonal unemployment rate in December of 2023, it says 3.9. That's different from what I said before. However, the number I'm giving you now, it's interesting. The number I'm giving you now is actually the number for the entire population, not broken out by men and women. I just took the average before, so I think I said the December 2023 unadjusted numbers were non-seasonal was like 3.55. But no, according to this data now, the unadjusted unemployment rate is 3.9. Pretty interesting. Yeah, something is actually wrong with this. Something is actually weird with this data. And that's the problem with this BLS website. If when you're looking at different parts and different data, things don't always add up. And I've noticed that for a long time with this website. Pretty interesting. The civilian labor force, for example, December of 2022, the civilian labor force was 87,251,000. December of 22, the seasonally adjusted number was 87,875,000. Is that enough to make a difference? I don't know. Maybe not. But the point of this whole exercise is to let you know that you just can't look at a number and understand what's going on. And the politicians do not tell you, do not delve into the numbers. The news media does not delve enough into the numbers. Of course, you're never going to get that on social media. So, I'm sure this was an exciting episode for everyone. I do promise I'm going to get back more into the number crunching data, because that originally was the purpose of this podcast, and I know I did get derailed for a while. I hope everyone is well, and thank you for listening.